This is number 0020, the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, and it comes to you right now.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Now, it's time for an eclectic mix of interviews and some of the oddest news stories you'll ever hear. It's the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Hey there, hi there, ho there. Peter Anthony Holder here with you with another edition of the Stuff File program, number 0020. The first Stuff File program of the brand new year, 2010. And coming up on this edition of the Stuff File program, Rich Goss from CougarEvent.com. They hold parties for older women who date younger men. Oh, they've been around for a while, but it's amazing what a name change will do for you.
One theme that we have had over the years was what we called younger men, older women parties. And we did a few of them over the years, not a terribly large turnout. You know, nobody really noticed that we were doing the parties. And then last year, we changed the name to Cougar Parties, and it made all the difference in the world. Now the news media is beating down our doors to cover all of our parties and our cruises.
Chris Aragon is the co-creator of RandomCreepyGuy.com. You know the person who always shows up in your pictures? Sometimes you don't even know he's there until you get home.
In a lot of these settings, they're out, you know, having a good time, a bar setting, going out at night, and just taking a lot of photos. I'm sure a lot of the participants are heavily intoxicated, so you might not even notice that you've got a random creepy guy in the photo until you get home and you're reviewing the photographs.
There's the mailbag.
Incoming subspace signal.
And Steve Walsh, our man in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation.
You know, I think I found there's really only one solution to dealing with aggressive panhandlers. Hi, this is Steve Walsh. You know, your guy in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation. You're going to want to stick around for my two-minute tirade. I'll tell you what that is. It's called GPS. That's coming up later on, right here on the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
And, of course, we have lots and lots and lots of stuff. The guests later on this edition of the Stuff File program, the person who told you this was show number 0020, is Meshach, my nephew, who you probably heard in a younger incarnation on the Christmas show a couple of weeks ago. He's now 17 years old and eating me out of house and home. Thank you very much, Meshach, for doing the slate. Love you. On to the stuff. We start off with a story from Rome, which deals with the holiday season. Actually, it deals with New Year's. A Sicilian man stole sweets and a packet of chewing gum so that he would get arrested and spend New Year's Eve in jail rather than be with his wife and relatives. The 35-year-old Sicilian first showed up at the police station on Thursday asking to be arrested because he preferred spending the night in prison rather than with his family, but was rebuffed because he had not committed a crime. Well, you know where this is going. The man immediately went to a tobacco shop, which is right next door to the police station, where he threatened the owner with a box cutter as he grabbed a few sweets and a packet of gum. He then waited until police arrived to arrest him for robbery. So now this has become world news. I suspect things will be even less rosy at home when he returns. Okay, I want to share with you a story which is actually a bit of an update of a story we did a few weeks ago. Actually, it's a bit of a retraction. If you were paying close attention to all the Stuff File programs, you may remember back on episode 0015, we talked about Peruvian gangs that were accused of killing to sell human fat. Well, as I said, there has now been an update. The headlines captivated the world's news editors. Peruvian police officials said a gang had been murdering people to harvest body fat, which was supposedly being sold on the black market to European cosmetics firms for $60,000 a gallon. At least 60 people were missing, police said, apparent fat gang victims. Well, the fact that police did actually say this is indeed true. However, anthropology professor Dr. William Mitchell of Monmouth University in New Jersey, who has studied Peruvian myths, said, "My first reaction was, what? This story is so crazy that the only thing I could imagine is that the police officers were trying to cover something up." Bingo, say later reports. The missing people are victims of police death squads, according to local papers, noting that human fat degrades quickly and can't be sold. The head of the Peruvian Police Investigative Unit, who was pushing the story, has been dismissed. What I'd like to know is, why was he just dismissed? Why hasn't he been fired? You'd think that would be the logical step. He's in line for some bad karma. And while we're on the topic of karma, it appeared to be a drug killing. Hector Quinones, age 44, came not wanting to leave fingerprints, police say, and he was wearing two pairs of gloves. Quinones burst into a third-floor apartment in Manhattan, New York, and started shooting. Before he was done, three people were dead, including a man he had met in prison. Another family member was also wounded. A fifth survived because Quinones's loose pants fell down, tripping him, and when he tried to flee via a fire escape, he fell out of the window. Police found his body in the alley below, his pants around his ankles. So he didn't leave any fingerprints because he had two pairs of gloves, but he left one hell of a butt print. That's karma. Meanwhile, a web designer says she was struck by the decor of a New York City restaurant when it fell on her head. Raina Kumra says in a negligence suit filed last week that a 150-pound stuffed moose head with 3-foot-wide antlers plummeted off the wall at the Scandinavian-themed White Slab Palace on October the 4th, and it hit her. She says she suffered a concussion and other injuries. Kumra filed a lawsuit in state Supreme Court in Manhattan. She's seeking unspecified damages. I've always wondered when you see those moose heads in restaurants and offices and people's libraries and party rooms or whatever. I always wondered if, you know, the rest of the moose is on the other side of that wall. Okay, let's have a little fun with phones. A woman was robbed at gunpoint in Philadelphia. One of the things that was taken was her cell phone, and the robber allegedly used it to take a snapshot of himself holding his gun to his own head. The phone was programmed to upload all photos to the woman's computer, and she forwarded it to detectives. We really appreciate him taking a picture of himself, a police spokesperson said, as it was released to the media. The photo got so much coverage in local media that Kadeem Cook, age 18, turned himself in. He has been charged with robbery. Hey, for taking a cell, the state now is getting ready to give him a cell for 3 to 5 years. Meanwhile, more fun with phones. Police in Crumlin, Belfast, Ireland, were investigating a burglary with an interesting clue left behind. The burglar had left his pants at the scene. An officer heard a ringing phone from the pants. He answered it and, pretending to be the homeowner, agreed to give the phone back. The officer arrested Paul Cullen, age 30, when he arrived to retrieve his phone. Cullen, who had 42 previous criminal convictions, was sentenced to 9 years in prison. Okay, we often talk about Britain as being the nanny state and has a lot of regulation. It overregulates people, makes them do silly things based on rules and regulations, and all in the name sometimes of safety. And they really, really go too far. And I love sharing some of these stories with you. And they haven't stopped, even though it's a new year. This one goes back to the end of last year, by the way. In November, the Solihull Council in Britain's West Midlands County ordered a flooring store to remove the festive balloons it had pinned outside front to attract business, calling them hazards. They were simple balloons, folks. One councillor explained that drivers may be distracted by the pretty colours. Yeah, and another was concerned that if a balloon came loose, it might possibly float into traffic and lure a child to follow it. Wow. Meanwhile, in October, Britain's Association of Chief Police Officers prepared a guidebook of instructions for bicycle duty officers on how to ride a bike. The book was 93 pages long, containing such assistance as a diagram on how to turn left or right, deployment into a junction. Now, following widespread ridicule, the association decided in November not to release it. Now, my point here is, if you need a guidebook to teach you how to ride a bicycle that's 93 pages long, you shouldn't be allowed out by yourself anyway. Never mind on a bike. Okay, I often talk about zero tolerance and I often talk about Britain, but you know, there are some silly rules right here in our very own country of Canada, so I'll get to one of those right now. Let's call this zero tolerance in real life Canadian division. Jack Noller, age 61, and his girlfriend, Bev Rogers, go out on the town every Thursday night in Bowmanville, Ontario. But they're responsible. They use a car service, so they don't drink and drive. Makes sense, right? If we have more than one drink, we always call the service, Noller said. They were still arrested, however, because they waited for the car outside the bar. It's not a mixed message, insists Inspector Charlie Green of the Durham Regional Police. You can't be intoxicated in a public place. It's an offense. Their driver arrived at the same time the police did, but he couldn't have cared less, she said. All he said was that they shouldn't have been hanging around a dark parking lot in the first place. Green said his officers take what is basically a zero-tolerance approach to everything. So, they can use a designated driver as long as she drives the car inside. Got it. That makes perfect sense. Okay, let's get to our first guest of the program on the Stuff File, here with me, Peter Anthony Holder. You know, cougars hunt in packs, and the trend will continue in 2010. The first annual Cougar Cruise, featuring sexy older women and young men in their 20s, recently launched from San Diego, and may be the beginning of many more cougar excursions. Rich Goss of CougarEvents.com says cities all over the world are getting in on the cougar craze, with conventions and cruises already planned in Canada and Australia. Rich is on the line with us from California. And Rich, let's go back to the beginning and tell us how this got started with CougarEvents.com.
Well, we've been doing parties for single people for 31 years. We're the world's largest nonprofit singles organization. We're called Society of Single Professionals. And we've done over 2,000 parties for singles all over the world on six continents. And one theme that we have had over the years was what we called younger men, older women parties. And we did a few of them over the years, not a terribly large turnout. You know, nobody really noticed that we were doing the parties. And then last year, we changed the name to Cougar Parties, and it made all the difference in the world. Now the news media is beating down our doors to cover all of our parties and our cruises.
So was it a situation where you were just ahead of your time?
Well, that's exactly it. When we call it younger men, older women, it just wasn't the right time. You know, you didn't have all those Hollywood celebrities dating and marrying young guys. You know, people like Demi Moore and Susan Sarandon and Halle Berry and Madonna. You know, all of the big celebrities nowadays are dating younger guys. And so it's become the in thing to do. Whatever Hollywood does, the rest of the world follows. So, yeah, we were just a little bit ahead of our time doing younger men, older women parties. As soon as we changed the name to Cougar Parties, the whole phenomenon just exploded.
So what happens at these parties that's any different from any other party outside of the age difference?
It's just the age difference. Otherwise, it's just a regular dance party for single people. Now, sometimes we do what we call a Cougar Convention. And that's a bigger event where we have a famous author gives a talk about cougar dating, and then we have a dance party, and then we often have a contest for the champion cougar. For example, we did the National Cougar Singles Convention last August in Palo Alto, California, in the heart of the Silicon Valley. Had a huge crowd, and we crowned Miss Cougar America at that event. And of course, the winners of these cougar conventions get a free cougar cruise. And we did one to San Diego, as you mentioned, at the top of the hour, down from San Diego to Ensenada, Mexico. We have two cougar cruises planned for 2010. One of them will be in May, and we'll be going down to Mexico again. It'll be a seven-day cruise on the Mexican Riviera. And then we'll do another cougar cruise East Coast at the end of the year in early December. We'll be doing a cougar cruise out of Miami going to the Bahamas.
Now, I alluded to cruises going to here in Canada and also in Australia. When are those taking place, rather?
Well, we're not going to do a Canadian Cougar Cruise. What we will do instead is a Canadian Cougar Convention. We'll be doing it in Toronto this coming spring. And so hopefully cougars from all over Canada will come to the Canadian Cougar Convention and try to win the title of Miss Cougar Canada. And of course, she'll win a free cruise along with other prizes. And, of course, she'll become very famous all over the world, because anybody who wins one of our cougar contests automatically is on worldwide television.
Wow. Now, the people who are taking part in this, both the cougars and the younger guys, are they looking for serious relationships, or is just this a hookup situation, or a little bit of both?
Well, that's exactly it. It's a little bit of both. You know, you can't just stereotype people. I think a lot of people have the stereotype of cougars and cubs just wanting to jump into the hay and that's it, you know, move on to the next one. And there are people like that in our society. I'm not judgmental about these things. I'm a happily married man, so I think marriage is a good thing. And so I'm hoping that my cougars and cubs will fall in love and get married and live happily ever after. But, you know, if they choose not to walk down the aisle with each other, if they just want to have some fun, you know, I'm certainly an open-minded individual.
Is your wife older than you?
No, she's actually younger, so I confess to hypocrisy. When I was a younger man, I dated lots of cougars because that's what was available, and had a lot of nice cougar friends as I was early in the dating game, and then eventually I got to the age that I am now. I'm a middle-aged guy, and frankly, I'm older than all the cougars, so it would not be appropriate for me to date cougars. Instead, I started dating younger women, and I married a woman 4 years younger than I.
Okay, well, let me ask you this question, since you're someone who, say, dated cougars in the past. Is there an advantage to dating cougars?
Well, what the Cubs tell me, and the Cubs, by the way, are the younger guys who like cougars, what they tell me is what they like about cougars is that they don't play games, they know what they want. You know, they're tired of all the game playing that some of the younger women in their own age bracket play, and they just like being with a woman who is a mature and isn't going to play all those silly games that a lot of younger women play.
Generally speaking, what is the age difference that you're seeing? Is there an average age difference?
Well, at our cougar conventions, generally the women are in their 40s and 50s, and generally the cubs are in their 20s and 30s. So there seems to be about an 8 to 10 year difference between the average cub and the average cougar that attends one of our events.
And what are you finding as far as the makeup of, let's start with the cougars, for instance. Are they divorcees, widows, never been married, breakdown of any kind there?
Well, most people in our society get married, so you would think that a woman in her 40s or 50s has been married before. So typically a cougar is going to be a divorced woman. Some of them have had the misfortune of having their husbands die on them, of course, and they become widows. And, of course, one of the reasons for that is because they foolishly married an older man. You know, women have been conditioned for thousands and thousands of years to marry older men, which is a disastrous strategy because women live 5 years longer than the average man. So if you marry a man your own age, basically what you're saying is you want to be a widow for 5 years, which is crazy. So that's one of the reasons why it's so important for women to look at the possibility of dating younger rather than older, because you probably won't be widowed. So yes, many of our cougars are, most of them are divorced, but some of them are widowed. And of course, there are some of them who have never married. And who knows, maybe they'll meet that right cub and walk down the aisle with him.
And the breakdown of the cubs, what are their usual dating histories?
Well, again, if they're younger guys, usually in their 20s and early 30s, a lot of them really haven't had time to settle down and get married and raise a family. A lot of these guys are still in school. You know, maybe they're going after an advanced degree, or they're, you know, moving up the corporate ladder. You know, they're investing all their time and energy into their career, and they're just not ready to settle down and accept the challenge of not only matrimony but also fatherhood. You know, tremendous responsibility. And you know, a lot of these younger guys are still trying to make their mark on the world right now from a financial and business standpoint.
You'd think that some of the older women or the cougars would not want to be with someone that driven, because that's probably something they've dealt with in the past, someone who's on their way up and working only to improve their own status and build on their career, as opposed to being involved in a complete relationship.
Well, you raise a good point. It's an interesting point, which, frankly, I hadn't thought of before. Yes, a lot of women, it may be deja vu all over again. They're marrying a guy who is the age of their first husband when they first met him, and, you know, same goals there, same ambitions and whatever. Generally speaking, these cougars are looking for fun. You know, they probably had an unhappy marriage. They divorced. Their husband probably was a guy who didn't want to go out and have fun. And these cougars tell me they want the younger guys because the younger guys have more energy, they're more fun, they want to go out and do things. They don't just want to sit on the couch and watch TV. They want to go out salsa dancing, skydiving, traveling. That's why the cougars are attracted to the cubs. They like these younger guys, the energy level they have, and the desire to have fun. But, of course, as you say, it could be a mixed blessing, because a lot of these young guys may be focusing all that young energy into their careers rather than into their relationships.
Hmm. People can find out more information and check out the website. I believe the website is cougarevents.com, correct?
That's correct, and we're doing cougar conventions in Canada, all over Australia. We're going to do London in the summertime. All over the United States, we're doing cougar conventions. And, of course, we have the two cougar cruises coming up, May, which will be the West Coast one to the Mexican Riviera, and then December, the East Coast cougar cruise going to the Bahamas.
And that information can be found on the website, cougarevents.com. I thank you very much, Rich, for taking the time to be on the program with us.
It was fun.
Rich Goss of cougarevents.com. You can find the links to their website by going to mine, thestufffile.com. Just click on the What's On page for this show. The corresponding number for this show is 0020. And you'll find all the information. Again, my website is thestufffile. That's STUPH, thestufffile.com. You're listening to The Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, online in many locations, including cyberstationusa.com and World FM 88.5 News Zealand.
What are they saying about if the rains don't cleanse? New York Times bestselling author David Mixner says, as a writer and advocate for Africa, I could not put down Ben Patrick Johnson's If the Rains Don't Cleanse. Aubrey Hooks, the U.S. ambassador to Ivory Coast, says, fascinating and hard to put down. If the Rains Don't Cleanse is CNN breaking news disguised as historical fiction. If people can't put it down, then why haven't you picked it up? If the Rains Don't Cleanse, the tale of missionaries in 1950s Belgian Congo is loosely based on my own parents' lives. It's available online, including Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. I, Ben Patrick Johnson, want you to read this book. My mother, Avidale Johnson, wants you to read this book. Now remember, this is a woman who survived as a missionary in Congo half a century ago. She is tough. Now do not make me send her your way. If the Rains Don't Cleanse, get it now, or deal with my mother. If you're listening to this while walking with your iPod, make sure you look both ways before you cross the street. It's safety first on The Stuff File with Peter Anthony Holder.
And still to come on the program, we'll learn about randomcreepyguy.com. Plus, we'll have a check of the mailbag. And there's Steve Walsh, our man in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation. And, of course, an idiot of the day. But right now, more stuff right here. Right now, authorities in Germany said two shoppers were hospitalized following a brawl involving the use of salami and Parmesan cheese as weapons. Police said the incident began when a 74-year-old man and a 35-year-old woman engaged in a tug of war over an empty cart in the parking lot of a supermarket. The woman's 24-year-old brother punched the older man to the ground, and the siblings went into the store with their 53-year-old mother. The older man followed the others into the store and used a hunk of salami as a club to attack the 24-year-old. The mother used a piece of sharp Parmesan as a knife to jab at the man, and she cracked her head on a glass countertop during the struggle. Police said two of those involved in the fight were treated at a hospital for minor injuries. They did not say whether charges would be laid as a result of the incident. Investigators said tensions were high at the busy supermarket due to a shortage of shopping carts. Cleanup in aisle 3. Fighting with salami as a weapon. What a bunch of baloney. Moving right along, we go to Warren, Michigan. Police in Michigan said a man with a 5-inch knife lodged in his chest walked into a restaurant, called 911, ordered a coffee, and sat down to wait for paramedics. Warren police said the 52-year-old man told the 911 operator that he had been stabbed in Warren and walked half a mile to Bray's Hamburgers in Hazel Park to use a telephone. You know, this might have been a situation where having a cell phone might have helped. In any case, a restaurant employee said the man then sat down and ordered a coffee while waiting for the ambulance. It was like out of a movie, said George Merdita, an employee at the restaurant. It kind of freaked us all out here. Then the customers realized it, and they were all turning their heads in disgust. Police said the man, who told officers he was stabbed by a mugger for refusing to hand over money, was treated for his injury and is expected to make a full recovery. Everyone turned their head in disgust. Did no one think to help this guy as he just calmly sat down with a knife in his chest, ordering a cup of coffee? Wow, that must be some pretty good coffee. Elsewhere, when a Wendy's restaurant in Dearborn Heights, Michigan was robbed, the manager ran in yelling, "What the hell are you doing?" according to police detective Steve Goethe. And then she started wrestling with the cash register to get it away from him. But he escaped with $150. Store employees recognized the armed man's getaway driver as Amanda Yost, 22, a former Wendy's employee. Her boyfriend, Jason Zachi, 27, the manager's son, who told police he was the robber. The couple was arrested at the manager's home where they live. Ungrateful little toads. Imagine that, robbing your mother's restaurant. And you live with her. There's a special place in hell for them. Anyway, here's another story with another ungrateful hunk of loin fruit. A 27-year-old Anchorage man has been convicted of robbing his mother at gunpoint because she didn't give him money to help pay a $430 parking ticket. The Anchorage district attorney said that Cheng Se Lee was also convicted of illegally contacting his mother from jail and trying to get her to drop the charges. Prosecutor Gustav Olsen said Salee was arrested in November of 2008 after he became angry during an argument with his parents, got a handgun from his room, and pointed the weapon at his mother's head. He was scheduled to be sentenced February 19th and faces up to 12 years in prison. Olsen said Salee might also be deported to Thailand after serving his sentence. The ticket he was trying to pay was for abandoning a vehicle. Wow. Nice kid. Meanwhile, a man broke into a home in Tuscumbia, Alabama, and one of the residents jumped him. That woke up another resident, and the three men wrestled on the floor until one got the robber's knife away from him and held it to his crotch. Then the victim, who first started fighting with the robber, for whatever reason, bites the tip of his nose off, a detective said. It was still laying there inside the resident when we got there. The robber got away when one of the men ran off to retrieve a shotgun, but William T. Cole, age 40, turned himself in later, presumably to get medical attention. The police detective says the guy bit his nose off for whatever reason. I can think of the reason. Obviously, it was to spite his face. Under the headline of least competent criminal, Granville Lindsay, age 30, on probation in Beaumont, Texas, after a child sex conviction and prohibition from visiting any social websites, was rearrested in November when he sent a Twitter alert to a woman he had met while in the probation office asking to include her as an online friend. That guy's just plain stupid, and yet he's not the idiot of the day. We'll get to that later. Elsewhere, Jeremy Bell, age 29, a partner in a marketing company in Toronto, was in his office when a squad of heavily armed tactical police officers burst in and threw him against the wall. The cops wanted to talk to him about the gun that he was seen holding. "I'm not trafficking guns or selling drugs or anything like that," Bell said later. "So as soon as I saw that these cops were legit, I was like, all right, this has got to be about this stupid gun." The stupid gun he was holding was made of Legos. He had received the kit that day and put it together in his office. Someone in an apartment complex across from his office window saw him holding it and called the police. Once the officers realized the gun was just a toy, they let him go, and the neighbor posted a note in his window saying, "Sorry, dude, it looked real." Legos? Really? Okay, time for one more story before we get to our next guest. Let's talk about the science of sex. Wake Forest University's Institute of Regenerative Medicine, which has successfully grown human bladders in the lab using only a few extracted cells sprayed onto a chemical frame that mimics the body's tissues, has so far been unsuccessful at regenerating penises, or would that be penile, because of the organ's complexity. However, it announced in a November Journal article a success with rabbit penises. Like, rabbits really need help in this category. Anyway, 4 of the 12 rabbits with lab-grown phalluses successfully impregnated females, and in an unexpected finding, the new penises appeared not to have lessened sexual desire in that all 12 of the rabbits began mating within 1 minute after meeting females. Well, they are rabbits. That's what rabbits do. Anyway, was this something, by the way, that was necessary in finding out? You can tell in most cases that scientists are men. You know, we have things like scientists trying to build a better penis. Scientists discovered Viagra. Scientists do all kinds of things. We haven't cured cancer yet, but the penis is doing well. Meanwhile, occasionally, people lose their short-term memory following vigorous sex. According to doctors interviewed for a November CNN report on transient global amnesia, the condition occurs because blood flow to the brain is restricted by the strenuous activity, temporarily disabling the hippocampus from recording new memory. One sufferer, who we will call Alice, recalled her experience, recounting how she initially cracked a joke about being unable to remember how good the sex was that she had just had, and then supposedly repeated the joke over and over each time as if she had just thought of it. So, there you go. If you speak to somebody who seems to be temporarily absent-minded, just think of them as having recently gotten lucky. On to our next guest. The creeps come out at night, so put away your cameras. RandomCreepyGuy.com features a gallery of just that, random creepy guys who sneak into people's pictures completely unnoticed. On the line with us right now is the co-creator of the website. His name is Chris Aragon. And Chris, right off the bat, I have to know why you started this website.
I started it about 3 months ago because we had a fair compilation of photos. My friend Brian Young, who's a co-founder, as well as Jonathan Garcia. Brian Young was in quite a few photos where he was the random creepy guy, and we were getting a real kick out of it, and we thought the rest of the world would, so we just put the site together.
Now, even though it's called Random Creepy Guy, are all random guys in the pictures creepy? And, by extension, are all random guys guys?
That's a good question. No, we definitely have some random creepy girls in there. I also would not say that they're all necessarily creepy. A lot of times they're just random and just looking for attention. But by association, you know, since they're trying to steal the spotlight, we just call them creepy. But we do have a fair share of girls, random creepy girls as well.
Now, random creepy people showing up on pictures, isn't that by nature the fault of the photographer?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, in a lot of these settings, they're out, you know, having a good time, a bar setting, going out at night, and just taking a lot of photos. I'm sure a lot of the participants are heavily intoxicated, so you might not even notice that you've got a random creepy guy in the photo until you get home and you're reviewing the photographs.
Well, I was about to ask, how many times is the random creepy guy something that people aren't even aware of until much later?
I'd say about 50% of our submissions have that context. It's kind of a nice surprise. It shows up, you know, the next day.
When somebody goes to the site, randomcreepyguy.com, you say you have people who upload pictures and send pictures to you. How do they go about doing it, and what do you ask of them? Do you need a synopsis as to what the situation is and perhaps who the random creepy guy is and that kind of thing?
We just ask for some basic information on our submit tab, just, you know, first, last name, how old you are, where the photo was taken, and then a title and a description if they want to put it in. So, yeah, if they can give us information as to, you know, the background of the photo, that'd be awesome, but it's not that necessary.
Generally speaking, how often is the random creepy guy or gal anonymous?
Are they anonymous?
Yeah. In other words, are there situations, have you been getting pictures where people actually know who the random creepy guy is?
Yeah, we have. But most of the time, they are anonymous. People have no idea who they are. It's always a good experience, though, when they do, and then we can call them out publicly. So
you uploaded this, you started the site about 3 months ago. How's it been going so far?
It's been going great. We've had quite a bit of coverage. We've had about 250,000 people visit the site in the last 30 days. I mean, we've only had the site live for about 6-7 weeks, but we started the whole process of putting it together 3 months ago.
So where do you see this site going? What would you like to accomplish with this site?
We actually have a couple more sites that we're going to build out. We have kind of a comedy network, and we've got plans for a web series to develop out. We've actually got the first 5 episodes written out of a 10-episode series. Look forward to that. That'll be coming out in about 3 months from now.
And have you, in the short period of time that you have had the site up, have you heard from any of the creepy people who say, hey, wait a minute, that's me?
Yes, we absolutely have. And generally, they have very good spirits about it. Nobody's been, hey, take my photo down. Why are you posting that? They're all pretty excited to get the exposure.
Now, is there something that, because again, you have the website called Random Creepy Guy, so the it's right there in the title. Is there something in common with most of the, shall we say, faces or looks that you get from the random creepy person in the background in the picture, or is it very, very individual?
They're usually broken out into either oblivious random creepy guys. They're not aware that a photo is being taken and they're just caught in an awkward moment, or they're deliberately trying to be included in the photograph. And at that point they're making, their own unique random creepy face.
Okay, so the oblivious guy to me is just so wrong, because now you've got basically two people who are unaware of what's going on. The person who is the random creepy guy and the photographer.
Yep. Absolutely right.
It's clueless all the way around. Have you yourself ever been the random creepy guy?
Absolutely. Several times. But I haven't put up any photos of myself.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. I just don't want to ruin the pedestal some of my fans have, thinking I'm above this random creepy guy.
Fans?
No, actually, they're not good enough photos.
Fans, you said?
They're just not good enough quality.
Okay.
That's really the issue with that.
Let me ask you this question. What's your day job?
My day job, I work for a company called Savings.com, which is an aggregator of coupons. So we're a coupon site.
Okay. So are people who you work for, are they aware of the fact that you are doing this and you have this website called randomcreepyguy.com?
Yes, they love it, actually. They keep trying to get me to put the coupons on the site. It kind of makes the two together.
Is there a theme as to where the random creepiness seems to happen? In other words, we've just passed a brand new year. There are a lot of New Year's Eve parties. There are a lot of Christmas parties before that. Are there usual party scenes where random creepy guy shows up, or is it just vacation shots or what?
It's absolutely party settings, either out at the bars or house parties are where we see the majority of the random creepy guys.
Do you have a favorite?
My favorite is probably my friend, co-founder Brian Young's photo, where I don't know if you've seen this photo, but there's about 15 girls. It looks like they're posed for a sorority photo. It's actually a birthday party, and they're all, you know, in their nice dresses, smiling for the camera. And Brian had drank a little bit too much at this point in the evening and was on all fours yelling at, I don't know who, probably a photographer, but all the girls are, you know, ignoring him, just smiling for the camera, and he's just random and creepy on all fours.
Wow.
In front of them. It's pretty awesome.
Good times. The website is randomcreepyguy.com. And again, all someone has to do is go to the website and upload a picture and give some information and perhaps a caption?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Excellent. I thank you very, very much for being on the program with us, Chris.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Peter.
Chris Aragon, one of the guys behind the website, randomcreepyguy.com. You can find the links to their website by going to thestufffile.com. Just click on the What's On page for this corresponding show number, which is 0020, and you'll find all the information. Again, my website is thestufffile.com. You're listening to the Stuff File program here with me, Peter Anthony Holder. It can be heard online and also on cyberstationusa.com and World FM 88.5 in New Zealand. Let's check the mailbag.
Incoming subspace signal.
And this one's short and sweet, just a couple of items. I got an email from a fellow by the name of Jason. He says, I plan to download all of your shows and burn them to CD. Now, whenever the radio station I'm listening to starts to get boring, and that's the radio station, by the way, I used to work at, he's referring to, I'll pop in your CD and away I go. I can pretend that you're back at the old station. Long live the Stuff File. Thank you very much, Jason. And what an interesting idea. Yes, you can take the Stuff Files, all 20 of them now, and burn them to CD and play them whenever you like. There you go. Still with various emails, Facebook messages, and tweets, I'm still getting a lot of tweets talking about the Meshach and Malik Christmas special that aired 2 weeks ago. Again, glad so many of you liked it. For those who may have missed it or just want to save a copy of it for their very own archives, it is show number 0018, and of course it is still available for download. And like Jason has been planning to do, you can take that and burn it to your own CD as well. Go ahead, enjoy. And folks, no matter where you are listening to us from, since the audience seems to be growing, drop me a line and let me know where you are hearing us and how, be it online or over the air. I'd love to hear from you. And that's the mailbag. This is the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder.
You're listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. Drop Peter a line. He'd love to hear from you. You can email him at peter@thestufffile.com or catch up with him on Twitter or Facebook. From our studios in Montreal, Canada, and going out to the rest of the world, this is the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Now, Peter Anthony Holder once again brings you Steve Walsh, our man in the heart of America, checking the pulse of the nation. Lock up your daughters, and in West Virginia, your sheep. Joining Peter Anthony Holder is our intrepid embedded reporter, deep in the heartland of the U.S. of A., Stephen S. Walsh.
How you doing, Steve Areno?
I'm kidding. I'm recovering. Still recovering from the new year.
You do something special?
No, nothing really. I'm just hoping, though, that this year is a little better than last year. I mean, there were good things last year. There were some bad things last year. As a New Year's resolution, I've kind of decided I'm going to be a little more picky about who I choose as people I wish to befriend.
You know, I have never, ever made a New Year's resolution, and this year was no different.
Yeah, well, one year I resolved to make no new resolutions, but I realized that was a resolution, so I had to say, hey, I made one and I broke it.
There you go. Well, sir, what do you have for us to begin off the year?
Okay, let's see. Dateline, Davenport, Iowa.
That would be the Hawkeye State.
Okay, can you stomach one more Christmas story?
Sure, why not?
Good. And one that just happens to be true.
Of course.
A reporter for the Davenport Times seems to have made the cardinal sin of not verifying a name that was given to her by someone who interviewed for a story she was covering. It was your typical, you know, liberal feel-good piece about Christmas dinner at a shelter in an area of the Midwest known as the Quad Cities, because of the cities on either side of the Mississippi River in Iowa and Illinois. There are four small cities that make one, so they call it the Quad Cities. Anyway, Mary Louise Spear's story starts off this way. Cold seeped through heavy clothing as Haywood Jablomi dug into a meal of turkey and trimmings during Sister Ludmilla Benda's Christmas Day dinner at Father Conroy's Vineyard of Hope. That's right. The guy identified himself to the woman as Haywood Jablomi. A lesson learned.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's what look, if you come up to me out of nowhere and ask me my name, my first name's Haywood. What's your last name, sir? Let me spell it for you. Jablomie. Okay, good. Dateline, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
That's the volunteer state.
Yes, it certainly is. Police in Chattanooga found a missing 4-year-old boy wearing a dress and walking around a neighborhood street drinking beer. The little boy had apparently entered a neighbor's home at night, taken all of the presents from underneath the Christmas tree, and a beer from the fridge. Among the Christmas presents was a girl's dress, which the kid put on. The police got this little drunk kid, cross-dressing little fiend that he was, and they brought him home, and they've decided probably not going to file any charges against him, which is probably good considering it's just a 4-year-old kid.
You know, when it comes to resolutions, I should stop saying on this program that here's something we've never heard before, because there's always something that comes along, and I didn't think I'd hear about a 4-year-old cross-dressing drunk.
No, and you know, I happened to have been in Chattanooga when that story happened.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was the biggest story in town.
Wow.
Yes, I know.
That also says a lot for Chattanooga, doesn't it?
Choo-choo.
Yeah.
Dateline, Rogersville, Tennessee.
That would be the volunteer state.
Still a volunteer state, yes. Jerry Lynn Davis just got some bad news from his homeowner's insurance policy. Apparently, his policy does not cover acts of cow. Jerry called police to complain that his neighbor's cows had been licking his house and caused about $100 in damage by ripping off a screen window, cracking the glass, and pulling down a gutter. Jerry's home, by the way, is just a couple of feet from the fence enclosing the cow's pasture, and the curious bovines managed to poke their heads through to lick the house. The cow's owner later said he had taken care of the problem. That's nice. I think it's good to take care of problems like this.
I used to have a neighbor who used to lick the house, but then he went to school on a short bus. That's another story entirely.
I used to have a neighbor who, whenever I saw her, reminded me of a cow.
Ooh.
Dateline, Akron, Ohio.
Oh, no, Ohio. I can hardly wait to say goodbye, oh.
Ah, yes, the Buckeye State.
Yes, I know. Now, that wasn't nice what I just said.
No, not even close.
I'm starting off the year on a sour note.
You're starting off the year.
Oh,
you're starting off the year as typical Steve. Let's just move on.
Fair enough. Okay. Yes, we are in the Buckeye State, as you mentioned. I used to live there. You know that.
I know.
75-year-old Joe LaPera finally got his high school ring back 57 years after he gave it to his high school sweetheart. He had dated this woman, Sharon Coddington Gaynor, for 2 years, but they broke up after he joined the Air Force following his 1952 graduation from Akron Central High School. Well, Sharon recently passed away, and after seeing the obit in the newspaper, Joe went to the wake to pay his last respects. While there, he was then tapped on the shoulder by Bill Gaynor, the man who eventually married his old flame. Gaynor handed over the class ring that his wife had kept all this time. She apparently had given her husband instructions to return the ring if Joe visited the funeral home. Now, that's preparation, huh? Wonder how that makes you feel. I mean, all these years, your wife has been secretly pining away for another guy and even thinking about him right before she dies.
No, I'm looking at the other cold-hearted situation where for all these years she had his ring. That's, you know...
Okay, fair enough.
I'm looking
okay.
at it from that okay. point of view. Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. I bet you there's a New Year's resolution for him, too.
Oh, yeah.
Dateline, Bloomington, Minnesota.
That would be the Gopher State.
Or Land of 10,000 Lakes,
yep.
if you prefer.
Yep.
22-year-old Travis Himmler was charged with burglary back in November after he allegedly stole the cash register from the Golden Walk restaurant in Bloomington and carried it away on his bicycle. He was found down the street injured after taking a bad tumble when the dangling cash register cord got caught in the bike's spokes.
You know, I didn't know there were still people around named Himmler.
Yeah, I know, and clearly this was not one of those great TV shows. Wheel of Fortune!
Yes.
Oh, that makes me angry.
So here we are in 2010. The one thing.
2010, yeah.
2010. I'm just wondering, have you calmed down from all the other previous years that I've known you, or are you still an angry man?
I'm still angry deep inside, and, you know, unlike most people who get angry and who knows what they do. Some people yell at others. Some people punch others. Some people, who knows what they do, terrible, terrible things. But what I do, I take computer keyboard in hand, and I write a two-minute tirade.
Ah, yes.
Which I've done for you right now, in fact.
Tirade away.
I shall do so. My two-minute tirade right now, Peter, how shall I put this? I want to take on certain people, and they know who they are, people who feel a need to panhandle when asked for any kind of information. Now, I recently returned from my Christmastime vacation. This year, I was in the deep south of the United States, in Alabama, Tennessee, Georgia, doing some work and relaxing at the same time. I do work while I vacation for tax purposes, but that's another story for another day. Anyway, there were a couple of times that I wasn't sure how to get to a certain location, and I did what a lot of guys won't do. I stopped someone to ask for directions. Wow, has that proven to be a mistake of life? In one particular case, in Georgia, I was looking for a specific building and asked somebody who was walking along the sidewalk, someone who looked to be respectable, where the building in question was located. He gave me directions, great directions, then added, "Can you help me with some spare change?" No. I said to him, no, I will not give you any spare change. First off, I don't carry spare change. I make about 99% of my purchases with my credit card and use the 5% I make on each purchase to put toward the purchase of my next car. And if you're thinking, well, he has to pay the interest charges on that, think again, because I pay the balance every month. But I digress. The only change I keep is change to pay parking meters and the like, where my credit card is no good and a quarter or a dime might come in handy. And I am not giving you my parking meter money. To the people who feel a need to ask for spare change, gain some self-respect and stop begging for money. It's a good lesson to learn. Oh, and after this trip, I've learned a valuable lesson, too. From now on, I'll depend just a little bit more on my GPS device.
New year, but same old Steve.
Same old Steve, it doesn't change. I'm telling you, it's me. It's me!
Yeah, I hear you. The website, by the way, is www.missourinet.com. You can find out everything that Cantankerous Steve is talking about these days, and also hear him as well.
That's me.
Cantankerous Steve. In the meantime, say those three magic words.
Hit the theme!
This is the Stuff File.
And we're almost done with this edition of the Stuff File program. Just want to give a quick shout out to the fact that, as some of you know, I've been moonlighting as a television news anchor on the side here in Montreal. For those of you not in our viewing area, I've put up a newscast in three parts on my YouTube page. You can check it out by going to the website, thestufffile.com. And, of course, Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. You can scroll down to the bottom of the page, and that will take you to my YouTube link. We'll take you there, and you can find the newscast and also a lot of other television stuff that I've done over the years. I bring it up because people have been asking. So I am now answering. Okay, a couple of sweet and short Stuff File stories for you. In November, researchers roaming the depths of Scotland's Loch Ness in a submarine looking for the legendary monster reported finding mainly hundreds of thousands of golf balls at the bottom from the popular use of the lake as a driving range. A recent Danish Golf Association report lamented the slow decomposition of golf balls, taking 100 to 1,000 years, and one UK legislator has called golf balls humanity's signature litter. Meanwhile, I'm not quite sure I understand this one. The wind power company First Wind has been eyeing a western Maine site as a possible location for a new field of turbines. But the proposed Longfellow Wind Farm on Black Mountain looks like it may be a no-go because, wait for it, it's too windy up there. Company spokesperson Matthew Kearns told a public meeting in Rumford that their tests show that gusts atop Black Mountain are too strong for turbine engineering to handle. Sorry, folks. You got too much wind for wind power. That's irony. And now, last but not least, it's the idiot of the day.
And now it's time for the strange things adults do. This Stuff File presents the idiot of the day.
And under the headline of just about anyone could do better than this, Anthony Carrasco, age 19, was going door-to-door in Brownsville, Texas at 3:30 a.m., police say, trying to sell something. You know, most people don't like people going door-to-door trying to sell them something at 3:30 in the afternoon, never mind in the middle of the night. Anyway, he went to an apartment building in the downtown area, according to police spokesperson Jimmy Manrique, until he finally knocked on a door of a local police officer. Now, Anthony asked him if he wanted to buy marijuana. The officer said he would be right back and went in to get his badge and handcuffs. Anthony, indeed, had weed on him, police say, more than 3 ounces. He was also carrying a pistol. That was not good for him either. And he was close enough to a school to make the act a felony. Obviously, Anthony was drunk, not high, because potheads don't have that much initiative. Why would someone go around door-to-door at 3 o'clock in the morning actually armed, trying to sell marijuana to people? There is only one reason, and one reason alone, and that is, he's an idiot.
Gee, I'm only a kid, but even I know you're an idiot.
And that's it for this edition of the Stuff File program with me, Peter Anthony Holder, number 0020. Hope you enjoyed it. You can check out the website, which is thestufffile.com, and stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com, where you'll find information and links on our guests on the What's On page. Just look for the corresponding data and program number. In this case, as I mentioned, the program number 0020. Email me at peter@thestufffile.com. You can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/PAHolder and at Twitter at twitter.com/PAHolder. We hope to see you back here for our next show on the air, online, or as a download. We're coming to you from everywhere, including cyberstationusa.com and also World FM 98.5 FM in New Zealand. Bye-bye.
Been listening to the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder, a presentation of Flying Fish Communications. Void where prohibited, offer slightly different in Canada. For a complete transcript of this program, next time write down everything Peter says.